Ken? If you will take your Bibles, open them up to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to read some verses there in a moment. Have you ever been misunderstood? I would probably venture to say that everybody here at one time or another in their life had said something, done something, and it was totally misunderstood. Have you ever heard a child say, "You did that on purpose"? I know our kids, back when they were little, because they didn't quite understand what was taking place, they thought that mom and dad done something on purpose. Have you ever sought to help someone? And hopefully you have at some point. Have you ever tried to help someone and be accused of being judgmental? Many times when we try to proclaim the gospel, when we try to speak of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, they'll lash out and say, "You're too judgmental. You're trying to judge my life, and I'm the only one that can make the decision if what I'm doing is right and wrong." Have you ever been kind to someone only to have that person accuse you of having an ulterior motive? Probably. Have you ever said the words, "That's not what I meant"? Again, most of you probably have said that at one time or another. If these things has happened to you, then I believe you understand what it's like to be misunderstood. Few people, and I mean only one, has ever walked this planet, this earth, who was more misunderstood than Jesus Christ Himself. This morning I want us to look at some things and perhaps help us when we are misunderstood. It's not if, it's not when, but when, again, we are misunderstood, because it will happen. In the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 18 through 21, Jesus says, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." Now again, this is Jesus talking to His disciples, talking to those who are to become the apostles. "If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than the master, his lord, or the master. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." Now, something that I find kind of interesting here, it says there in verse 18, "The world would love his own, but because you are not of the world," you know, if you're doing everything exactly the way the world is doing, then the world's your friend. But when you're standing against what the world is proclaiming, the world's going to hate you. The problem is, the world, the Jews, hated Jesus Christ because He stood against their thinking and their teaching. When we look out into the world today, Can you understand and see that it hates Jesus Christ even today? And because of that, it hates us also. Take your Bibles again and turn them open to Matthew chapter 16. I want to start reading in verse 13. When Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that Thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. But He said unto them, But who say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. Even in the day of Jesus, he was constantly being misunderstood. The person of Jesus was misunderstood. When Jesus asked his disciples, Who do men say that I am? They answered correctly. Because some believed that he was literally John the Baptist. Some believed that he was Isaiah. Some believed that he was Jeremiah. But Peter, from what we see here, is the one that spoke up and said that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that wasn't by flesh and blood. It was revealed by the Father. Jesus' person was so misunderstood that they literally tried to kill him from the day he started proclaiming himself being the Christ. And then we can see in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 19, Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or privately. Even Jesus' birth was misunderstood. Now, I don't know if you know much about Mary and Joseph before Jesus was born, but yet they were simply engaged to be married. They weren't married yet. Then all of a sudden, Mary was found to be with child. So Joseph, he didn't want to make a public example of her, which in that day, that was probably what was done to shame the woman. But Joseph wasn't like that. He misunderstood. He did not understand until an angel appeared to him and told him that Mary was still faithful. But then we can see in Mark chapter 3 and verse 22 that Jesus' power was totally misunderstood. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, He hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth out devils. Now, I don't see how they could even believe that themselves. But yet, because they were trying to destroy Jesus and what he was doing, they would even stand up and say a bold-faced lie. Because we know for a fact, and Jesus proclaims it, how can the devil cast out the devil? His power is misunderstood. It was because of the blindness of their hearts, because they refused to accept the fact of Jesus Christ's power, that they had to stand up and literally tell a lie to discredit him. Has that ever happened to you? Has somebody ever stood up and told a bold-faced lie about you or something that you said or did? Or perhaps one of your children? Jesus had the power of the Holy Spirit. But yet, the scribes come all the way down from Jerusalem to try to discredit Jesus' power of healing the blind, healing the sick, feeding people. But we also see in Mark chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21 that even his ministry was totally misunderstood. And the multitude cometh together again so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, "Ah, he's beside himself." Even his disciples at the beginning did not quite understand what was taking place. A good one that even I think happens today is Jesus' kingdom is misunderstood. Acts chapter 1 and verse 16. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?" After all of the teaching, after everything that Jesus had taught the disciples, those who were about to become his apostles, they still did not understand. They truly believed that Jesus was going to restore the physical kingdom of Israel. To get them out from underneath the dominion of the Roman government. Jesus had already been put to death here. After 3 days he arose. And he was talking with his disciples. And they still did not understand about the kingdom of our Lord and Savior. Then we read in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Because Jesus' demands were misunderstood. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." The demands that Jesus makes is not grievous, but they are totally misunderstood. Take your Bibles again and open up to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, I'm going to start reading in verse 34. Matthew 10, start reading in verse 34. Jesus' demands were misunderstood. "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his own cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." Verse 39. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Now, John, does that mean that we got to hate our moms and our dads and our wives and our husbands, our children? Is that what Jesus is totally misunderstood here? Even today, Jesus' demands are misunderstood. These passages here that we read, verses 34 through 39, Jesus is not saying that we must hate our moms, our dads, our wives, our husbands, our children. But what Jesus is trying to get us to understand is that we must put Him above all. How many of you have known people that simply refuse to come to worship, refuse even to become a child of God because they love their husband or their wife or their mother-in-law or father-in-law or child more? I've actually had people tell me that they will not become a Christian because they believe that if they do, they're going to condemn their deceased family member. Is that putting something above Jesus Christ and Him crucified? Even Jesus' death was misunderstood. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Then verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greek foolishness. You know, here's the thing about what Paul is telling us here. The preaching of the cross to the world is foolishness. How in the world could someone that has been put to death, how can they be a Savior? Even the apostles back in Acts chapter 1, they did not understand because they asked, are you going to now restore the kingdom to Israel? They simply didn't understand. And the people that's having the problem today with the preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ and Him crucified is simply because to them it's foolishness. How can a dead man do anything? Paul says, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block. Oh, we got rid of that man. He is not the Messiah. Have you ever had someone tell you that believing in a dead man for salvation is a crazy idea? Have you ever had anybody tell you that actually believing in a God, someone that created all things, is a crazy idea? Only an insane person would truly believe Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Do we not need a Messiah that's alive? But what they fail to realize is that Jesus is alive and well. We cannot allow being misunderstood to keep us from living a faithful, obedient life. How should we handle being misunderstood? I believe that everyone here at one time in their life has been misunderstood. And if that is the case, soak it in. Feel the injustice of it. Did you ever feel like you being misunderstood, that it was doing you such an injustice because the person is not willing to listen to reason? Remember what it feels like when you have been misunderstood, so that you don't do it to others. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 7, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. This is what Paul is telling the Corinthian Christians in the great chapter of love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Do we bear all things? Do we? Do we believe all things? We should believe until we know without a doubt that what we believed was wrong. Should we believe rumors? Should we believe hearsay? Should we believe someone who comes up to tell us some juicy tidbit that they've heard about someone else? Should we believe it? What about hope? Where's our hope found? We just talked about it a moment ago. In Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What about enduring all things? Do you ever feel like giving up? I don't know how many times over my life of preaching that I felt like just simply giving up. What's the use? Have you ever thought that? Have you ever thought about why you do something when nobody appreciates it? We cannot quit. We cannot get sidetracked by it. Should we? Should we be sidetracked? Should we give up and quit? We need to be like Nehemiah. You can read about Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. He was rebuilding the wall, yet he was totally misunderstood about it. And false accusations was being made against him that he was trying to make himself a king. But he prayed to God to strengthen his hand to continue the work. We need to guard our tongue. James chapter 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And if you remember a couple lessons that I did on this passage here, too many times we get these reversed. We are slow or swift to speak and swift in anger because we're slow in hearing. We need to pray and do good for those who are misrepresenting us. Notice Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 20. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Do we sometimes get that wrong? Where we want to repay? Where we want to lash out? That's not what we should be doing. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. That's nerve-wracking, isn't it? Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. We need to pray and do good, even to those who are trying to make our life miserable. Even when we are totally misunderstood, we need to do good. The bottom line is this. When you're misunderstood, be like Jesus. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. When we're misunderstood, we need to be like Jesus. For even hereunto you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps. We should be like Jesus. Verse 23, who when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously. Let us be like Jesus. Jesus was misunderstood throughout His entire ministry. Even after His death, burial, and resurrection, He was still misunderstood, and He's still being misunderstood today. But let us be like Jesus. Let us not become angry when we are misunderstood. Let us love and have compassion. This morning, if you're here and not a Christian, but wish to obey the gospel, being baptized, having your sins washed away, would you come?